everybody. Thank you for coming out tonight. I have got a choir coming. He said that he would be more willing to invite his choir to come. Plus, too, the nights that he's not, if some of his choir may not come, or if he don't have that many coming, let's try to see if we can maybe fill the choir up or whatever. But I would really love to have a choir. And two, I know we don't have a piano player. I know that. And God's going to send us a piano player when he sees fit at the right time. He's not going to send us one too early, not going to send us one too late, and they're going to come at the right very time. I believe that. I believe God does everything in order, and I believe he will do it his way, not our way, because in our way, we'd always be hurrying him up, because we wanted everything not today and not yesterday, but day before yesterday and day before that. That's where we are. But if you will, really, I would love for this, nothing else. Just try to, I mean, if it ain't but two or three of us sitting out there, that's fine, or two or one, or if nobody's sitting out there, we can still come up here and just sing. And as we're singing, we can just, it'd be the same thing as sitting out there, but we can be singing up here. And we can be singing for the glory of God. And we can not only, and I feel this in my heart, I really do, that if God sees us and what we have, if it's number four or five of us, or two or three can get in the choir and just sing before the service starts, then God says, well, they really want to do something. They really want to try to get the choir going. They want to try to get some other things going down to church. So since they want it, they blessed my heart, so I'm going to bless them also. And I believe that's where it starts at. It starts us blessing him. And then he will turn around and bless us. I know some people don't believe it that way, but that's where I believe it in, because I look at the blessings of God the same way as other things that, you know, I had to go to Jesus and ask him to save me. He won't save me unless I went to him and asked him. So we have to do what we have to do first, and then he will come in on the scene. So y'all discuss it and y'all talk about it, but let's try. And I think if we can have a good time doing it, ain't nobody here but family anyhow, right? We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. So why can't we just have a good time? That's what I think church is all about, coming in and having a good time. I mean, I'd go to the bar rooms and all the other places for the devil and I was having a good time. Why can't I come to God's house and have a good time? And then the next morning be able to wake up and know what I done. Because I sure couldn't remember it before when I was serving Satan. He didn't allow me to remember it. I mean, only thing I can remember is just getting up with a headache. And I didn't like the headaches. But now I can get up and I can tell people what happened the night before or the day before. So, all righty. I just got some main points tonight. I just want to mention tonight here. And I don't know, maybe I've preached this down here before. I don't even know if I have or not. But if I have, I think if it's worth preaching one time or worth reading one time, it's worth reading or preaching it again and again and again, because God's Word lives forever. So if you will, turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And I was told tonight, coming on over here, that this morning, I pronounced the book of the Bible wrong. And some people was trying to find what I was saying, but I apologize to you. It's going to be some words in there here I'm going to pronounce wrong, because I'm so long and so hard I can't even, sometimes I even have a hard time even pronouncing my own name, much less somebody that I ain't never met and don't know. So y'all just bear with me if you will, please. But tonight in Mark chapter 16, I'm going to start reading with verse 3. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And as he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they lay him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for thy precious word. Now, Father, for the words that I've just read, I pray, Father, that you anoint it from on high. And, Lord, that you may just open the hearts of each one of the individuals here, even my own heart tonight. Lord, that we can understand what the Scripture is saying to us. And Father, that we can leave the house of God tonight and saying it's been good to be in your house tonight, to where we can come in and fellowship and worship and give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Because it's in the lovely and the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Here in chapter 6 here, there's three words here. Behold the place. Behold the place where they lay him. But I want to look at the three words, behold the place. We can look at it and we can, this right here can take us to when the creation of man, and then when the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, and then when he returned back to heaven. But behold the place from where he, Jesus, came from. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Like I told you this morning, he did not create the heaven, earth, and hell. He created the heaven and the earth. He wanted every individual to be saved. He wanted every individual to be able to come and accept him as his Savior, that they may go to heaven with him. That's the reason that he put there in the very first verse there, God created heaven and earth. That was in the beginning. Then we know in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it said, the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. All of that was in the beginning also. Even though it was written there, and it was for John. John right there was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to look at that. We need to look at where Jesus came from. He came from heaven. From where the Father, where he left his Father. Now how many of us really like to take an extended long trip away from our family? When I take a trip, if it's not but a day trip or 2 or 3 days trip, I look forward to getting back home. I look forward to it. I look forward when I drive up and when I see the street that I live on. I look forward in getting home. And then when I get on to my down into the house, and right before I turn in the driveway, I'm looking forward to it. I'm getting excited within myself. Why? Because that's where's my residence at. That is where I rest at. That is where I sleep. That is where that the Lord nourishes me and strengthens me. And not only, I mean, He can do it outside, but that's where I've got peace about it and control about it. Because there in my house, I have all kinds of books that I can take and I can read. But the main one that's usually there if I go on a day's trip is my Bible, that I can take it up and I can read it. And once I read it, then all peace will come back to me. But that's because I've come back home. But see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He left home. He left home. He left home willingly. He also left home because His Father asked Him to. Not only that, He left a place where there was no sin. There was no sin there among the Father. Now, can you imagine being in a place where there is no sin? Can you? I can't. We can look around and we can just see things of what somebody else has made. But in something that was made, even this podium right here, when it was made, when the individual took the tree that Jesus Christ and God the Father, when they grew the tree, and when they cut that tree down, and when they let it cure and let it dry out to where they could be able to slice the tree and make lumber out of it, and where they could plane it down and make it smooth, and then take it and sand it, and they'd put it in a belt sander, and they'd sand it down real smooth. And then they would put it together. Some in the years past, they put it together with nails, and they put it together with dovetail joints. But now, what they put together today is with glue. Well, I want to tell you what now. You can either look at it, you can either believe it or not. But there's more hands went into it than just one individual's hand. It was God's hand was first in on it. Because God grew the tree. And God flourished the tree to where the tree would grow. And then not only that, you had the individual to go out here and be able to cut that tree down and to be able to make that platform, or even make the cruel cross to where Jesus hung on. You had the sawmill to cut the tree and logs and everything, cut it into square timber and everything. You had them there, and then you had the others there that was making the pegs and everything. You had the others there that would operate the machinery. So you had more than one or two or three individuals involved in it. And when you've got more than one or two or three individuals involved in it and making anything or seeing something go on and happen, you better bet you there's going to be some sin that is going to come out within it. It's not because we do it. We do it because of a habit. But we do it because that's what we are. We have the sin nature. God has given us that sin nature. And what is that sin nature? The sin nature is this fleshly body. It's sin. You can go out here and you talk to some preachers, and yes, and they believe
that this old body of mine is saved, just like my soul is. But they're wrong. Because if this body was, if this skin, this flesh that was on here, if it was saved, then why would God allow him to pin it down in the Word of God that I would have a glorified body? Because if you're saved, yes, we're saved inwardly. I have the glorified body inwardly. But this old flesh of mine, it's not saved. It's lost. It's wicked. It's sinful. It has the sin nature. But thanks be to God that as long as God is there, and as long as I have the precious Word of God, and as long as I have the right, in a right frame of mind, I'm going to do what I can for God. Now it may come to a time to where I may not be in a right frame of mind, and I may be talking out of my head or something like that. But if I am, you just remember one thing. It's the sinful flesh that is doing all of that. It's not the inward man. Because I believe this with all my heart and with all my soul, that a Christian's been blood bought and washed in the blood of the Lamb. I believe before God will allow them to stay around here another 10, 12, 15, 20 years, and God does not bring any kind of chastisement upon them, there's a good possibility, a real good possibility, that they are not right with God. Why does God chasten his people? What does the word chasten mean? He's just trying to correct us. It's the same thing as what he says in the Old Testament there. It says, spare the rod and spoil the child. That's what's happening today, and that's what's been going on for the last maybe 20, 25 years now. Why? Because the government had got so involved in family lives that the family cannot raise the children in the right way. But you know, he left sin. I mean, he left home where there was no sin, and he came to a place where sin was rampant, where sin was on every corner. But why did he come? He came because of that harlot. He came because of that drunkard. He came because of that rich man. He came because of the beggar. And he also came for the one that wanted to do everything right. But even though they wanted to do everything right, and they wanted to please the family, they didn't want to harm the family. We know people like that. I know people like that today. I mean, they love the family, and they're going to be there for the family. But you never see them in the house of God. You never see them talk about God. But in all of that, where they're at. Still lost. They're still lost. What the lost individual wants to see today in my life is somebody different than what they've seen before. They want to see something in your life that's different than what they've seen in someone else's life. They want to hear us speak about things that we love. And the first thing that we should speak about is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He saved our soul. Like I said plenty of times in the pulpit, and I'll still say it today, I mean, if we ain't got nothing else to shout about as far as in the scripture, there's one thing that we can shout about. We ain't going to hell. I'm not going to hell. I can't go to hell. Why? Because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved. But you know what? You got some people say, well, I'm saved too. Now you're doing this and doing that. Don't know if I'm in church. No, they just came to make a confession. They ain't possessing nothing. It's a difference between making a profession and then going out and possessing. In other words, it's easy to come up here and pray, God save me, then for them to go out, grab a hope for the world, and say, God, I can be here. No, they can't. People today think that they can go up against Satan. They think that they can go up against the world. We can't go up against the world without God's help. God has to be the centerpiece on it. God has to be in control. Behold the place from where Jesus came to. He came where? He came here and He took up the sin of mankind. He was just as much man as He was God. He took up the body of a man. Jesus hurt at times when they spit upon Him. That hurt His feelings. When they scourged His back, that hurt His pride. When they done these things against Him, He hurt. Why? Because He had the flesh of mankind on Him. So, when we say that, well, Jesus knows what we're going through. He does. He's been there through anything. He has lost brothers. He has lost sisters. He has lost friends. He has lost loved ones by death. But one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, even though when He was down here, He could go past the graveyard. He could go past where they was buried. And when He went there, they rose up and they came forth. Just like Lazarus. Lazarus, as his sisters are sick. Ain't no need coming now. He's dead. He's been in the grave 4 days. Now he's stinking. No need to meet him now. See, what they seen him as man, but they also recognized that he was the Savior and the Messiah. But they could not get the idea of man out of their head. When he came back, what did he do? He didn't say, rise and come forth. Because if he had said that, he'd had a mob come out. What did he say? Lazarus, come forth. And who came forth? Lazarus. just like I've heard preachers say, and I've heard some color preachers say, when Jesus was walking, and he was walking on the ground, on the earth at the time, while there was a funeral possession going on, the funeral stopped. The hand of him. Why? Because Jesus was in on the scene. Jesus was there to help.
Behold the place from where he, Jesus, went back to. Where did Jesus go? He went back to heaven.
When he came forth out of that grave on the third day, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he went home. Went home to be with the Father. He wanted to go back and have that homecoming. He wanted to have that reunion that he once had with the Father. But when he got there, you'll notice he didn't sit down. He didn't sit down. Why didn't he? Because his father wouldn't let him sit down. Because his father told him, he said, "You're not through. You're not through." And Jesus knew what he was talking about. Because he was just like God the Father. He knew everything. But Jesus, no doubt, they said to the Father, "Father, I've always been to the cross. I already gave up the ghost. I already took the sin of all mankind and put it on my shoulder. And you turned your back on me. And I rose on the third day, like you predicted, like you did back years ago, like you predicted. Now I'm home." You know them disciples that are supposed to be following you, supposed to be listening to every one of your words. They lay in the upper room, 10 of them all. And one of them is out here having a pity me for. One of them is out here just a pout. Because he ain't got nobody to lead him no more. You've got the other 10 in the upper room. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know who they need to go see. They don't know what to do. You've got to go back and remind them once again. So we do. Came back to earth. And he walked in the upper room. Went straight through the wall. Went to the upper room. Told his 10 disciples. He says, "You must go and do what you've been taught. One day, you'll see me return. Until that time, you need to go." Then you head down and Thomas, he doubted. But one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, he proved what it was around. He even told Thomas, he said, "Well, Thomas, you say you don't believe." He said, "Take your finger, put it in the crack, in the wrist. Put your finger, put it down in the wrist. Went down in where the spike was." And he says, "Thomas, now won't you take your fist and don't you thrust it into my side, where the spear went." And he did that. He done all that. There's a lot of part of that verse, the last sentence in that verse. He says, "Blessed are they that have not seen
and the Lord. He didn't tell Thomas that. He didn't tell Thomas, Thomas, blessed are you because you have seen and you believe. No. He said, Donnie, blessed are you because you have believed in what the Word is. You haven't seen it. It's only by faith. Only by faith. Everything that an individual has to do today has to be by faith. Has to be by faith. Because we've never seen it. And all of these programs that's coming on TV now, and all these movies that they're coming out, and saying that these individuals say, they've had an out-of-body experience and everything, and they went to heaven and everything while they was having surgery or in a car accident and everything, but now they come back to earth. I don't know but believe that in a man in the moon. I don't care what age they are. It doesn't make no difference if they ain't for 6 years old or 112 years old and in between. It doesn't make no difference. I do not believe that. I believe if they want anybody wants to get to heaven, they are not going to come back. You know why? Because they ain't going to think about mom and dad. They ain't going to think about the wife. They ain't going to think about the husband. They ain't going to think about all the other things. They going to just be giving him a praise and a glory for what he's done for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, tonight. And Father, for thy precious message. Lord God, I pray, Father, that we can behold that place within our heart and our soul, Lord. That one of these days, and it's not going to be very long, Father, where we're going to enter into heaven there. And yes, and when we enter there, we're not going to want to come back. But Father, I'm looking and I'm listening for that great sound from heaven. Father, tonight, we thank you for thy people. That you may bless me. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
You got a word about it. You just...